Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today, Sean and Allison McManus. Moments away, but first, do you have problems with ants in your home? I know we might have some in our garden, but in our home, that's unacceptable. And Rescue has a ant bait that can get rid of the ants in your home so you can live in peace.
Ant colonies become more noticeable around the house starting in spring. They seek out food and moisture sources to feed their colonies. Once they establish a food source, they lay pheromone trails for other ants to follow. So you send these ants to Rescue ant bait stations. Ants will transport the bait back to the colony, killing the ants at the source. Ants look for sugars to feed their workers and protein to feed the queen and larva. Rescue ant baits use both protein and sugar for a faster and more complete colony kill. Unlike other ant baits that leak and spill on your floor, Rescue ant baits are spill-proof and mess-free. They're also child-resistant and safe to use around the home. Better bait, no mess, and child-resistant. Rescue ant baits have it all. Like all Rescue products, their ant baits are made in the USA. Rescue.com for where to buy.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring our guest in for this week.
Sean and Allison McManus are passionate gardeners. They have a blog, podcast, YouTube channel, and are authors of the upcoming book, The First Time Gardener, Growing Plants and Flowers, which will be out April 13th. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Nice to be here, guys. We're
happy to be here with you guys.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join Holly, myself, and all of our listeners on our stations. Well, you know, your passion, let's just get into the conversation here, because you are passionate about first-time gardeners, and boy, did you hit the right mark when you decided to take that with the situation that we're in. There are a lot of first-time gardeners last year and transitioning into this year. Why first-time gardeners? And then what is something that you really wish that you would have knew as a first-time gardener that would have made things a lot easier for you? And either one of you or both of you can address that.
Great questions.
Okay. Yeah, great questions. I think overall, just why we want to help first-time gardeners, if I'm understanding your question right, is that we know that people are interested in plants. They want to actually work with plants, but they just don't know how, and they're afraid. They lack a lot of confidence. And so we want to help them gain that confidence so they can become a better gardener.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that kind of relates to my like advice I wish I would have had as a new gardener is don't be afraid to try, you know, just get out and experiment and learn from your mistakes. And that'll help you become a better gardener, just help you gain that confidence.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that, because Holly and I have both stood in the garden going, should we plant that there or should we plant that over there?
And
we've gotten to the point where if it takes you more than a minute to decide, just put it in the ground. It's going to grow better than in the seed packet.
That's awesome. I love
there you
that.
Go, yeah.
So true.
So tell us a bit about your book, The First Time Gardener, Growing Plants and Flowers, and a good tip from it that readers would find fascinating or extremely helpful.
Okay, yeah. So Our new book, The First Time Gardener, Growing Plants and Flowers, we came at it from an angle from the total beginner's point of view. Like, they literally, they like plants, they like to interact with them, but they know almost nothing about them. So we went at it from that angle and thought, you know, maybe we need to talk about first what plants are and then what they need to survive and how they grow and all the different kinds of plants out there. And then we methodically move through and talk about what a gardener, a new gardener, any new gardener out there has out in their garden, and how to look at it from a new perspective. And then from that perspective and taking inventory of what they already have to now what they can really add new to their garden and how they can change it and figure out their why and their goals, and then basically move through into planting plants and then really into maintaining them through the next year and into the future.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the concern that I have is you've seen the influx and the numbers of new gardeners that are coming to their backyard for the very first time because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. The concern that I have is they may watch a YouTube video and they go, well, them people, or watch on TV, well, those people have a 300 or 400 or 5,000 square foot garden. Let's put the whole backyard in a garden. And they don't have that understanding or that land management. And they get very overwhelmed and they're like, this is not what we want to do. And we're quitting.
Yeah, exactly. I know, that's a really good point. And we wanted to come at this book from a like, don't be scared kind of point of view, you know, and just, I don't know, just kind of like Sean explained, running them through the, it's kind of how Sean and I approach every project. We're kind of nerdy and we're, you know, we just want to make sure that people don't get overwhelmed.
Yeah. We don't want them to give up. We want them to continue forward. Try. If they fail, that's okay. Try again.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were taught very early on from Sean at Coronado that you're not a good gardener unless you've killed at least 1,000 plants.
So true. Now, looking at your website, we can tell the proper garden tools are important for all gardeners at whatever level. If you could recommend 3 basic tools for all gardeners to have in their garden shed or their garden toolbox, what would those be and why?
Gosh, this is a great question because there's so many tools, right?
There are.
It's hard to narrow down. Definitely a set of really good hand pruners, they don't even have to be like amazing, just some type of hand pruners. You can perform so many tasks with just those tools. What else, John? What would you
say? I'd say with that, an actual stirrup or hula hoe, because not only do they help you weed and weed really fast, they can also help you scrape concrete or other hard surfaces, loosen up gravel. They can also help you even move around materials like even mulch to just move around a little bit here and there. And they're a great tool.
I know, that's a good point. I think probably the third then would be, what do you think? Probably a hand trowel.
Yep.
I think that's a really versatile, useful tool for any beginning gardener. I like that.
Now, would for a new time gardener, would you recommend them to dig in the ground or a raised bed or a container or dabble in all three?
Probably all three, depending on what their interest is. It just depends on what they want to do and what their goal is.
I mean, a hula hoe wouldn't be very useful for a container garden, but it could, I guess.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to the financial level and the investment in which one new gardener wants to make or feels that they can safely make to get a return on that investment too.
Totally.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, yeah.
Totally. So we are talking with Sean and Allison McManus, the new authors of First Time Gardener, Growing Plants and Flowers. Many new gardeners are starting seeds for the first or second time this year. How is it best for them to determine when to transplant their seedlings?
It's a great question. And it can be tough.
We've had that question a lot.
So how we approach it, we approach it in like a priority list, and there's 3 things. The first thing we look for is the first true leaves of that plant, not the very first leaves that come up out of the ground, which is something that every gardener needs to know about, is that those aren't the first true leaves. The next set of leaves that the plant produces after what's called the cotyledons or cotyledons, those are the first true leaves of the plant. And that's a good sign to start thinking about transplanting your seedlings. Another thing to look for, actually, the second one to look for after that is, are the roots actually growing out of the pot or the pony pack or, you know, whatever you bought them in or sowed the seeds in? Are the roots literally growing out of that and trying to seek new soil and moisture and nutrients and air? And then the third thing would be that the seedlings are actually crowding each other. It's getting too thick and they're having to compete and they're stretching and they're shading each other. So that's how we approach when we need to transplant seedlings.
Well, I want to bring up the term hardening off for you, Sean and Allison, because a lot of people, they don't know what that is. They've started the plants underneath their grow lights, and it's like, okay, it's a nice day. Let's go bring them out and plant them. They plant them, and 2 hours later, they're killed over, and they're dead because they didn't harden them off. So if you can explain to our listeners what that term is and how one should go about doing it for the best success.
Okay. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Really important. We've done a couple of videos recently about that on YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, how we like to explain it is, you can't just take your plants and, like you described really well, take them out and just plop them in the ground right from the greenhouse or your grow lights or that one environment that they grew up from. It's too much of a shock. You got to gradually introduce them to that new environment. And what we do, and what a lot of people do, is you take the trays or the seedlings, whatever they're in, and you gradually expose them to the environment that they're going to be planted in. And you can start off with 1 hour, 2 hours at a time, and then gradually from the next couple of days, and that'd be, you know, every day, 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, 5 hours. And then over a week or two, even, depending on how much of a shock they're going to go from their current growing conditions out into the new growing conditions, you might go for 2 weeks on this, and you just gradually expose them to that outside environment for longer periods of time until you think they're basically ready to go. They can take a full day and even a night if you can leave them out that long to get them used to all those temperatures and the temperature fluctuations and all that environmental difference.
Yeah, get them climatized.
Exactly.
And then also knowing when certain crops should go out. That's another, that thing.
Well, yep, time.
Yeah.
And let's talk about flowers because I don't want to focus solely on vegetables. Though it's just spring now, very early spring, lots of people are thinking about flowers. Now, flower bulbs, can they be planted now? Can you trick a flower bulb if you have some left over or you're able to get a deal on them? Or what can you put in the ground for colorful blooms this summer?
Well, for the summer flowering bulbs, spring is one of the best times, if not the best time, to plant them. And there's so many different kinds.
And again, making sure that you're mindful of the correct growing temperatures. Can they be outside overnight?
Yeah. Are they hardy to that area? What are they hardy down to? Because, for example, for us, a couple that we can grow out here that we can plant in the spring, and then the summer and the fall are glads or gladiolas. Canna lilies, dahlias, crocosmia. There's so many. And so, out here, we can actually hold them over. All those that I just described to you, we don't need to dig them up out here. We leave them in the ground forever once they're planted, and they do just fine. They're zoned out here. They're hardy enough in our coldest times of the winter. They're fine. Whereas in other places, they're not. So you might have to dig them up if they're not hardy.
And there's ways to trigger them, right? We don't need to worry about that here. But
no, like freesia.
Yeah,
freesia, you can actually trick. And I think even anemones, you can trick at certain times of the year in different ways to have them flower based on when you actually plant them during the time of year. You can get anemones to flower, succinctly or, week after week if you plant them in succession, you can get them to flower almost the whole year. In some places, it's amazing.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Now, how can our listeners find out more about you and to find your book and your blog and all your great information?
Oh, great question. Thank you for asking that. So we have our website, spokengarden.com, and we have links to our book right there. We're pretty active on YouTube and Instagram mainly. I mean, we're kind of on all the social medias, but we're not as active on Facebook or Twitter, but so definitely Instagram, YouTube.
Well, we greatly appreciate you taking time to join us. And whether you're a new gardener, a weekend warrior, or you've been gardening for 27 or 28 years, the book is something that one should get, not only for reference and review, but also as a gift to a new gardener, because we all know somebody new that's gardening this year more than ever before.
Yeah, definitely.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.